ACNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hi, I'm Dr. Patty, and Therapy in a Nutshell is a show where I try to talk about things that are going to give people the help that they need. Not everybody can afford therapy. Not everybody can get to therapy or get your significant people in your life to go. So this is a show that you can listen to over and over again. You can go to the archives here on KCNR1460.com. You can go to my podcast on the Anchor app, also Spotify, iTunes, and all the different podcast apps. And just type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. Today we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. And the question I always put with New Year's resolutions is why? Why do we do them? What's the purpose of them? Why do they usually fail? How do we feel about them? And when I hear somebody in my office start talking about, well, for my New Year's resolution this year, I'm going to fill in the blank. And I say, why? Why are you doing that? And it becomes a very interesting discussion. So I started thinking about what would be a timely show to do for this time of year. And this is where everybody starts thinking about what they're going to do differently in this next year, this coming 2020. And people's thoughts turn to it between Christmas and New Year's, because by New Year's Eve, you want to have in your mind, I'm going to be doing this differently in my life. So to start out, let's look at a little bit of the facts that go around New Year's resolutions. Research shows that about 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. And you would think that means 20% don't, but they just haven't failed yet. Only about 8% of resolutions that people set are successful. And why is that? What's going on here that people get in their head, I want to do this differently, I want to change my life, and then it doesn't happen? So in today's show, we're going to talk about, first off, why do we set resolutions and what do we do and how do we set ourselves up for failure? And then I want to teach you something I've been teaching people for years about how we make decisions or avoid making decisions and how that affects us. And that is a therapeutic issue that has nothing to do with New Year's resolutions but affects New Year's resolutions. So be sure and tune into that section of the show too, because that is an issue that's going to help you with other type of things in your life, not just New Year's resolutions. Then I also want to teach you, if you're going to make some changes in your life, I want to give you some positive ways to do that and set yourself up for success, not failure. So let's talk about this whole New Year's resolution thing. I read this really funny thing that said, "Dear New Year's resolution, well, it was fun while it lasted. Sincerely, January 2nd. I thought that was funny. So by January 2nd, we're giving up. Here's what I see people do. They begin to set resolutions that are vague, and they're all-encompassing for their life. Things like, I'm going to start exercising, or I'm going to lose weight. In fact, exercise, losing weight, financial are some of the top things that people set resolutions about. And it's usually because they have been trying to do something differently in their lives and it's not happening. You've just come through the holidays where you've probably felt like you were pigging out way more than you needed to. And you start saying, well, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm going to enjoy myself, but I'll start back on my diet or start a diet or start doing fill in the blank, eating more healthy, exercising more, whatever. And I'll start that as a New Year's resolution. What I see that does is it's a way of putting off, of procrastinating what it is you want to do differently. It's also a form of permission. I give myself permission to indulge with whatever it is I think I'm indulging in right now, and I will stop soon. I will change soon. I'll change in January. I'll have a New Year's resolution that I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm fill in the blank. I'm going to do something differently. So New Year's resolutions are a way of giving yourself permission to do what it is you want to do anyway. So when you start to look at what it is you want to change and you think, oh, I'm going to do that as a New Year's resolution, that is an insight into you. It's a window into your soul. What are the things that you value? Think about that for a minute. When you say, I want to lose weight, I want to exercise more, I'd like to save money, I would like to get organized, I would like to drink less. Think of the things that you hear people say. Those are insights into what it is that you value the most. So when we want to lose 20 pounds or we want to exercise more, why is it that we value that? Is it you're valuing looks? Is it a vanity thing? Is it a perfect body thing? Are you valuing health? Are you wishing that you were healthier? So don't just look at what it is you want to change. Ask yourself why. And like I tell people all the time, when you ask yourself why, the key is to answer your own question. So I want to set a New Year's resolution of saving more money, not spending as much. Why? Why do you want to set that? Well, it causes fights between my significant other and me. I don't like seeing the credit card bill when it comes every month. What is it you don't like? You're tired of being in debt. You're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. What motivates you to set that goal? And then that is a window into your soul. I forgot to say at the beginning of the show, too, we are live today here at the studio. So if you've got a comment or a question about New Year's resolutions, you can call 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. And you can call in anonymously, too. You don't have to say who you are. So we're looking at the New Year's resolutions that we tend to set are vague, and the type of goals that make you feel better about yourself. So they are the things that you feel out of control of in your life, or things that you wish you could improve. And it's an insight into your soul. Here's the other question I like to ask people. How many times have you set this New Year's resolution? And most people start laughing and they say, well, every January for the past 10 years or past 20 years or whatever. So every January they make a commitment to themselves. They're going to lose 20 pounds. And for the first couple days they do all right. And then it kind of slacks off. And then they go back to it. And by February they're totally forgetting what's going on. So ask yourself why. And how many times have I set this goal for myself? What is it that makes me want to do this? So if only 8% of people that set resolutions are successful, how do they do that? How do they make the changes in their life to make that resolution come about? And I'm going to explain that to you in the last part of the show. I want to teach you how to be successful at changes that you'd like to make in your life. And one of the main keys has to do with how you make decisions and what you focus on and how you begin to put your attention to that. So when you start shoulding all over yourself and saying, I should lose weight, I should exercise more, I should save money, I should stop drinking so much, I should spend less time on electronics, I should value my friends and family more, I should quit smoking, I should stop this, start that. Stop and look at why. What is it you're asking yourself? All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to teach you how to make decisions.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Randy is a Native American flute player, award winner, won lots and lots of awards, played all over the world. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and listen to his music. You can hear him on Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all those things. He's got 6 CDs. They're all different, and they're all beautiful. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on our show. So we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do those? And it's very important that I teach you about why we make decisions and how we make decisions and how, as human beings, we can really screw that up for ourselves. I'd like to do a shout-out to my former intern, Tamara Baker. Tamara asked me, she said, God, Patty, would you reteach that thing that you do about decision-making? Because it's helped her personally, and it's helped her help a lot of other clients. Tamara's now licensed and an excellent therapist, and I just want to tell her hi. And I'm doing this because you asked me to, and it fits in with New Year's resolutions beautifully. So how do we make decisions? As human beings, some people are better at decision-making than others. You know if you are or not. You're somebody who can go, okay, I need to decide what to do with this, and boom, 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 you've decided and you've taken action and you've started doing it. Other people hem and haw and wishy-wash all around and avoid making a decision or go back and forth or poll the entire world. What would you do? What are your choices? And what do you think of this? And they really recognize that they don't do decision-making very well. So what I like to teach people is to break down a decision you're going to make into your two top choices and call those choices A and B. Often if you choose A, you can't choose B because something, you know, it's not the same thing. So the mechanism that I see people use to procrastinate or stall making a decision or to not ever make the decision is doing this thing that I call choosing not to choose. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you've been saying, I'm going to start exercising more, and you're real vague, and you have to decide, am I going to join the gym or not, or am I just going to start walking, or what am I going to do? So choice A would be join the gym. Choice B would be start getting up in the morning and going out and walking and actually using those weights that are sitting in your garage that you bought 10 years ago that you've hardly touched. and you keep humming and hawing and not joining the gym and not setting a time to go out and do it. So you end up in that gray area between choice A and choice B. And that's the land of choosing not to choose. When you don't choose and you don't do either one, you have allowed yourself to not make a decision and to procrastinate. So that land of choosing not to choose becomes that gray area of safety where you don't have to risk failure or risk wasting money or risk being uncomfortable getting up and going out and walking or doing whatever the other choice was. So you run around in that little land of choosing not to choose and fool yourself into thinking that you're working on it. Let me give an example that I see often in people. They're going to change jobs. They'd like to have a different job, a better job, something they're happier with, that they follow their bliss a little more with. Yet, they would have to actually look for another job, get their resume together, apply for other jobs, and wrap their head around leaving the job that they have. So they don't do any of those things. So they don't actually choose to stay where they're working, and they don't actually choose to go from where they're working, and they run around in that little choosing not to choose land between the two choices. And they say to themselves, well, I'm working on it, or I'm thinking about it, and they're actually getting nowhere. Let's take a whole nother example. You're thinking that you want to take some college classes. Either you want to start working on a degree or you want to take them for fun. And you're thinking that would be good. Like, let's say you just want to take an art class out of college. And you've been talking about it for a while. But you never actually go sign up. You don't move forward with signing up for the art class and committing to it. So you say, I'm going to take an art class out of college, but because you never actually choose to follow through and do it, the choice you're making is to not go. When you don't choose to look for another job, get your resume together, the choice you are making is to stay in the job where you're working. If you don't choose to join the gym or go out and walk, you choose not to choose. The choice that you're making is to not up your exercise. So what we have to recognize is that choosing not to choose is actually a choice. And we have to remember that we are allowing ourselves to be in that place. Now, why do we do that? Why do we choose not to choose? People who avoid commitment, it's usually for fear of failure. They don't want to look foolish or be embarrassed, or they don't want to not be good at it. Or it's for fear of success. If I start going to the gym, if I get up and walk and my significant other won't get up and walk with me, that's going to make me angry or ticked off, and I don't want that to happen. And I don't want to get up and go out and walk when it's cold, and I don't want to go out and walk when it's hot. So they're choosing not to choose because of uncomfortable things that are in their way. And rather than deal with each of those roadblocks, it's easier to say, I'm thinking about it, or I'm going to do that soon, or I'm planning on taking the art class out of college. I'm just never actually stepping into it and going and signing up. So when we choose not to choose, it is a call to consciousness. Why are we doing that? Why do we not want to go forward? What's in our way? What are we uncomfortable with? And that's the part where I see people in my private practice be very unconscious. The more aware you are as a human being, the more you are aware of why you do or do not do the things that you do. So let's go back to the choice about exercising. You've decided that your New Year's resolution, back to the New Year's resolution thing, you decide that what you want to do is to start exercising more. Now, why? What's your motivation? What do you want to do it for? And let's break it down. Let's say that you've gone, my jeans are tight, or I'm sick of carrying around this extra roll of belly fat, or I'm tired of when I go for a walk with my grandkids that I'm huffing and puffing. I'm really bothered that I can't get up off the floor very easily. I don't like feeling out of shape. I used to be an athlete, and I don't do much anymore. I feel so sedentary. So are those your reasons why? Ask yourself. Or is it just because you should? Or the doctor has said to you, you need to lower your cholesterol. I'd like to see you lose 20 pounds, and let's get this blood pressure down. Is it health motivated? Is it vanity motivated? What's the reason? Because if your reasoning for what you want to choose is weak or vague or not something you really want to do, you won't do it. And you might use choosing not to choose as a way to stall, procrastinate, not actually step into something that makes it happen. You know, it's interesting. If you ever heard somebody at a stoplight, when the person in front of them isn't going or isn't moving, and someone in the car will yell, pick something, even if it's wrong, do something. And I think, yeah, choose. Choose to go forward, choose to turn right, choose to turn on your flashers and say your car's stalled, whatever. Make a choice. Don't just sit there looking like an idiot. But that's what we do when we choose not to choose. We're sitting there and not making a directive for ourselves. So let's go back over this one more time. Divide out what you're wanting to do or accomplish or change. Ask yourself why. Why do I want this? And then really take a look at what are the motivations. Let's break it down into choice A and choice B. I could do this or I could do that. What are the pros and cons of choice A? What are the pros and cons of choice B? What am I leaning toward? What are my unconscious motivations or things in the way of me pulling off what I want to do? Like let's say you're going to sign up for a class at the college. What are the repercussions of that? The time, the money, the supplies you might need to buy. What is it you're trying to accomplish by doing that? What are the cons? What are your fears? What would happen if you succeeded? What would happen if you weren't good at it? What would happen if you failed? What would happen if you felt like you tried, but it was just a waste of money? Who are you going to disappoint? Who's going to rag you and say, yeah, I told you you shouldn't have done that. I told you it was a waste of time and money. Those are all the unconscious things that make you choose not to choose. And here's the really important thing for you to remember. Choosing not to choose is a choice. It is a choice to sit and keep the status quo. If you don't sign up for the gym or don't start walking or you don't go to the art class, you're not going to make the changes in your life. If one of your New Year's resolutions was that you wanted to learn how to paint and indulge this artistic creativity that you've got inside you, if you don't step into it and try, you won't know. But one of the unconscious motivations might be that you fear looking embarrassed or feel foolish, or maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, or you think it might be fun, but it's not, and then you feel stuck. So look at what are all those unconscious reasons for you doing or not doing what it is that you'd like to get accomplished. So, all right, we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about many of the reasons why we don't succeed at the things we're hoping to change in our lives. So take this lesson of choosing not to choose. And while we're at break, kind of think for a minute, have there been things that I've been avoiding deciding because I didn't want to step into one direction or another? That's choosing not to choose. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Colon360.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yeah. Now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $14.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage, and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform a comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to Randy McGinnis play Native American flute. Just love the sound of that. Oh, all right, so we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do this to ourselves? We are, as human beings, most of us, the care, are always trying to be a better version of ourselves than what we think we are right now. So the New Year's resolutions that we tend to set are to make us feel better about ourselves and to feel more directed, more successful, and trying to be a better version of who we are. So what are the New Year's resolutions that people often set? One of the biggest ones is they're going to lose weight. They're going to eat healthier. And again, take a look at why do you want to do this? Why do you want to weigh less or eat healthier? What are your motivations? Don't be vague about it. Be very specific about it. And also, don't be thinking of a too lofty of a goal. If you're picturing yourself back in your size fours and you're a 14 now, it's a pretty lofty goal for right now. What about just saying, I'm going to drop a pant size. I'm going to cut out and pick two or three things that you eat that are your nemesis. I often say that people I've dealt with compulsive eating and eating disorders for many, many years. And I usually say to people, what's your bugaboo food? What's the thing that if you didn't eat, you would be so much better? And they almost always have something. It's ice cream, or it's beer, or it's bread, or sugar, or getting high-calorie, high-fat coffees in Starbucks. They usually have something that they say, oh, I waste a lot of nutritional value and a lot of calories on that. So stop and think, what if you didn't do an all or nothing thing? What if you limited it? Rather than have a big, huge bowl of ice cream every night, what if you got to have a bowl of ice cream one day a week? What if you got to have a little bit? Now, a lot of people will tell me it's easier to have nothing than to have a little bit, and that is often true. So when you're thinking of wanting to lose weight, look at why. And look at, instead of thinking all or nothing, I'm going to start being perfect. I'm going to never eat anything bad. I'm going to eat chicken breasts and veggies for the rest of my life. Think about just a few little ways that you can make a difference in your eating habits that would set you up for success, because that's the biggest one that people say. The next biggest one is exercising more. And that's because as humans in this day and age, as Americans probably, most people I talk to are exhausted. Everybody is so tired. They're not getting enough sleep or good quality sleep. They're racing around a lot. They've got a lot of irons in the fire. If you've got kids at home and elderly parents, I call that the sandwich generation, where you're sandwiched between raising your own kids and taking care of your own parents. There's a lot of irons in the fire that make people exhausted. And one of the first things to go when you're tired is taking care of yourself. So exercise means you have to stop doing some stuff and start doing that. So think about that. What's a way that you could increase your activity level in a simple and not a huge way, but would increase your exercise? There was a study that was just recently reported about exercising, just walking 20 minutes a day, three times a week, lowers your risk for cancer and high blood pressure significantly. So, and that's not a lot. We're not talking about you have to go out and walk for 2 hours every day. You have to walk for an hour every day. You have to get up off your chair and walk for 20 minutes three times a week to make a difference in your health. That's a really good goal to start out with. So if you're catching my drift here, people often set vague and unrealistic goals. It's two of the reasons why New Year's resolutions fail. So what if you started out with a goal that said, three times a week, I'm going to get up, have my coffee, put on my walking shoes, put on a sweatshirt or sweater or something, and I'm going to head out the door, and I'm going to walk away from the house 10 minutes. That's all. If you walk away from your house for 10 minutes, what happens? You have to turn around and come back. That's 20 minutes. So your goal has become something that feels much more manageable to bite off. So with the eating healthier and exercising more comes the number three resolution that people always set. They want to lose weight. And they think if they can do the number one and two, the number three will happen. So if you talk to people about their New Year's resolutions, those are the things you're going to hear the most. The next ones come with financial issues. People want to save more, spend less, change jobs, earn more money. And they'll have a set of New Year's resolutions around financial goals. Then the next set of type goals that I see people set all the time are the getting rid of bad habits goals. They want to quit smoking. They want to stop drinking so much. They want to smoke less pot. They want to get rid of some bad habit that they've got going. So they generally don't have a plan for stopping that. They just think, I'm not going to do that anymore as of January 1st. How many people have you known that throw their cigarettes away January 1st? Stuff like that happens, but they don't have a plan to take it beyond that. They are kind of picturing that their set determination is going to overcome the discomfort that they're going to feel. So let's go back to the idea of what if you have a resolution like that? How do you set yourself up for success? So when I talk to people about quitting smoking, I talk to them about cutting way back so that they're down to just a couple of cigarettes a day, so that their nicotine uptake is a lot less, so their withdrawal will be a little more manageable. And that's when they have another plan to start, when they're ready to get rid of cigarettes all the way. Nicotine patches, or they've talked to their doctor and gotten a prescription for medication that helps them, but they have a plan, and they've worked into the plan, and they have a day, maybe New Year's Day is your day for stopping that, and that's fine, but you didn't just do it vaguely or off the cuff. You really worked at it, thought about it, and planned it out. What if your goal is to drink less alcohol? I hear that from people all the time. They come into my office, and they start recognizing that they're coping more with alcohol. They're using it more and more to turn the volume down on the anxiety and the stress in their lives. And so instead of saying, I will never drink again, and they want to say, I want to cut back, make a plan for how you're going to cut back. Instead of drinking hard alcohol, maybe you're going to drink wine coolers. Maybe you're going to substitute something, like I have a friend who substitutes Crystal Light Lemonade. And he'll have two or three of those and just have maybe one drink occasionally. So have a plan that gives you something else to do that makes you feel successful. So we're back to, why do we set New Year's resolutions and why do they fail? They're vague. They are based on a lot of fears instead of on healthier choices and trying to feel better. They're based on trying not to feel so bad. So let's take a minute for you to stop and take a look at yourself. What is it that you feel badly about with yourself? What do you wish was different? How do you wish that you were more or less of you? What are the habits that you are embarrassed about that you don't want people to know you do or don't do? What do you admire in other people? When somebody says to you they're vegetarian or vegan or they do eat this or they don't eat that or they go to the gym X number of times per week and they do an hour and a half spin class a couple times. And are those the things that make you go, whoa, I wish I could say that about myself? What do you admire in others? What do you dislike about yourself? And how does that motivate you to change? And does it motivate you or does it just make you feel bad? You know, people will hang a picture of themselves on the refrigerator where they look really gross. Their worst picture. Their double chin, their gut sticking out, looking fat in their jeans. And they'll put a picture up on the refrigerator and think, that's going to motivate me. Actually, that makes you feel horrible. You look at that picture and you say, oh, I'm fat and ugly. That's what I call the F and U's, the fat and uglies. So that doesn't motivate you to do better. Hang a picture of yourself where you just go, wow, I look good there. And that's more motivating than making yourself feel bad. So when we go back to New Year's resolutions, why do you set them? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And what are you hoping to change in yourself? And how are you hoping to feel better? And you've got to answer that question. What is it I'm choosing to do? What is it I'm not choosing to do? And how am I choosing not to choose to make changes? That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Choosing not to choose to make changes. That's what we do to ourselves. And then we feel like failures, or like we're not accomplishing what we want to. Or by January 7th or 8th, you don't want to tell people what your New Year's resolution was because you've already dropped it. Or you're already struggling to keep it going. So let's not think in terms of New Year's resolutions. We're going to think in terms of how to make changes so that they stick. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about how do you make changes and make them stick. Be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palo Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. All right, we're talking about, this is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do them? Why do they fail? Why do we even bother? So what I like people to do, rather than make a whole set of new rules for yourself that you're going to feel crummy about when you can't keep going in January, I like people to think about what are the lifestyle changes that they would like to make. So the idea is to stop and visualize and do this thing that I call blue sky. And blue sky is where you think all the way better, not just a little bit. You think, okay, if I wanted to be happy in this house where I'm living, what would make it wonderful? And you can dream and you can think about stuff you would do to the house, or if you would sell it and move, or if you would find a different place to rent. What would make your living situation better? And really just brainstorm and think blue sky. And then when you narrow that down to one small choice, what would make me happier in this house? Well, I don't have enough storage space. So what if you wanted to make more storage space? What would you do? Well, if I cleaned out a few closets and got rid of some stuff, I would have more storage space and I'd be able to move that stuff into that space. So a small goal would be, I'm going to clean out that closet. And you don't set a lofty, vague goal that says, I want to like my house better. I don't like where I'm living. I want something different. You're very specific. You keep narrowing it down. So what you think of as the broad blue sky goal is the top of a funnel. Picture a funnel that's wide at one end and very narrow at the other. At the top of the funnel is your broad goal. And then as you begin to narrow down into more specifics, you get tighter and tighter. So, I choked on my water. That was good. Note to self, don't drink water in the middle of the show. I'm right. Okay, so you're at the top of the funnel. And you're making a broad goal. Narrow that goal down until it's something that is much more something that you can accomplish. Okay, I'm right. I had to stop coughing. I'm right. I just choked on water. Okay, stop talking and swallow. That would work better. All right, so the blue sky goal is at the top of the funnel, and that is a broader goal. And then you narrow it down into something that is bite size. Okay? So let's go back to a New Year's resolution. A real typical one is, I want to lose weight. That would be at the top of the funnel. I want to lose weight. Then you go a step down from that. Why do I want to lose weight? And let's say you've got some pretty realistic goals. I don't like how my clothes are fitting. The doctors told me wants me to lose weight. I'm going to have to start on blood pressure medicine if I don't. There's a history of diabetes in my family, and I'm worried about that. So I have motivation for doing this. Then let's go down the funnel a little tighter than that. What do I want to do to lose weight? And so what I like people to do is name something you can stop doing and something that you can start doing. So what's something you can stop doing to lose weight? I'll tell you, if you're a man, you can stop drinking beer and eating dessert and you'll drop 20 pounds. women are always going, yeah, I know. It's really sad. It doesn't work for us that way. It's the whole fat storage hormone thing. But whether you're male or female, think of something that you can stop doing. Stop eating a big bowl of ice cream every night. And something you can start doing. I can start having dinner with a fresh steamed veggie with my protein. Okay? Maybe I haven't been eating enough fruits and vegetables, or maybe way too much fruit and not enough vegetables. I can stop eating that big bowl of ice cream every night, and I can start eating a fresh steamed veggie with my protein every night. So you're not saying you're going to be perfect. You're not saying you're never going to have a Starbucks or whatever it is, but you're going to cut out this one thing that you know is kind of your nemesis, and you're going to add in one thing that you've needed to be doing. So picture the funnel again, and we're going down a little further. We're going to stop one thing, and we're going to start one other thing. And then we're going down the funnel. We're going to go, how do I know I'm succeeding? Now, when you're talking about weight loss goals, I really like it when people do not weigh themselves. I think weighing yourself is something that should happen at your doctor's office a couple times a year, because you know whether you've lost or gained weight. And you can chart your progress by looking at the size of your clothes. So what I like people to do is pull out a pair of jeans that they don't like how they fit. Sorry, I don't know why I'm coughing now. They don't like how their jeans fit. So say you're wearing size 12s. And you pull out a pair of 10s that if you lay back on the bed and you suck your gut in, you can sort of zip them up. But you would never wear them out because they're super uncomfortable. Those are going to be the jeans that you put on when you think you've lost weight. When you can wear those jeans, you're beginning to get to where you want to be. The reason I recommend that people don't weigh themselves is it's really discouraging. Because if you're doing better and you're losing inches and you're feeling better, you may not have lost very much on the scale, especially if you're exercising, because fat weighs less than muscle. The same amount of volume that takes up, like, your gut, if it's fat, it weighs less than what muscle weighs. So for the same amount of volume. So if you are exercising and you're starting to lose fat, but you're gaining some muscle mass, your scale may not change at all. But those jeans might fit you better. You might actually be able to zip up those size 10s, and the scale has maybe changed a pound. The people that I've dealt with eating disorders, whether it's anorexia, bulimia, compulsive eating, whatever, the scale becomes the be-all to end-all of whether you're succeeding or not. So get away from the scale and start looking for other ways to notice if you're doing better. And to start with, am I doing the thing that I wanted to begin doing, like eating more vegetables? And have I stopped doing that thing that was bad for me, drinking too much beer, eating too much ice cream, going out to eat too often, eating a lot of fried foods? Pick something to stop doing. Okay, now let's generalize this behavior to how do we make other things work. We want to start at the top of the funnel. What is the broad thing that I would like to do? And then how do I start narrowing it down? And the first thing you want to look at is, why do I want to do this? What's my motivation? What are my fears? What would happen if I succeeded? What would happen if I gave it up? And then you go down and you pick something that you can do toward that goal. So if you want to walk 20 minutes three times a week. Three times a week, you're going to go out of the house and walk away from the house 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes away from your driveway. Look at your watch, turn around, and walk back. You're going to feel a sense of accomplishment, and it's going to get easier and easier. There is a thought in behavior modification that it takes at least 21 days to make or break a habit. Some research shows that it takes actually 2.5 months, so 70, 75 days to do that. But you don't make or break a habit in one time. So let's say for 21 times, you're going to walk away from your house 10 minutes and walk back 10 minutes. And you're going to try to do that 3 times a week. So it's going to take you about 7 weeks to do that 21 times. By the end of 7 weeks, when you've been doing that on a regular basis, you have overcome whether your shoes fit, what do you wear when you do it, how far does it take you to go 10 minutes. Maybe you can go 2 telephone poles farther or 2 houses past what you went, and now you're going 12 minutes out and 12 minutes back. Maybe your goal is to eventually be walking 30 minutes 3 times a week. Do you have to make that goal that you're going to walk an hour or two every single day? No. You're going down the funnel to make small, minute changes toward your goal. So that's how you set yourself up for success. People make too lofty of goals that are way too vague, and they are unconsciously, they're not aware of what their internal motivations and fears are, which get in their way. So let's look at the idea of something like breaking a habit. You want to quit doing something that's bad for your health, smoking or drinking or getting lost in pot too often or whatever it is you're doing that is taking you away from yourself and from those you love. Your broad goal would be, I want to quit smoking. So underneath that, what are your motivations? Why do you want to quit smoking? What are you afraid of if you don't? What will happen if you do quit smoking? Then you go a step under that. What can I do toward the goal? Toward the goal that will be at the bottom of the funnel, which will be, I've totally stopped smoking. You're going to cut way back. You're going to be down to 1 or 2 or 3 cigarettes a day. You're going to talk to your doctor about what can you do, nicotine patches or cinnamon toothpicks, symptom substitution, or, you know, you're going to take Chantix or whatever it is you're going to do that's going to help you quit smoking. And then you pick a date that you're going to actually stop. But you've worked toward it, and you've set yourself up for success, and you've really explored what your motivations are. So that funnel technique of the broad goal narrowed down to something that's bite-sized really will help you to make a lifestyle change, not just a resolution. So let's look at the difference between a resolution, I want to lose weight, and a lifestyle change that says, I want to eat healthier. I would like to eat far less ice cream and far more fresh veggies. I would like to make a lot better choices. I'm going to cook more at home and eat out less. You're looking for the lifestyle changes that make you move toward the goal of that healthier eating and the lifestyle that makes you feel proud of how you do what you do for yourself. So the idea is that New Year's resolutions are a way to say to ourselves, I'm not good enough. I need to be better. And that isn't a bad thing. I think it's a window into your soul. So when you're thinking of your New Year's resolutions this week, I want you to really stop and say, why? Why? New Year's resolution, why? What is it I'm trying to accomplish? What do I want to do? What am I hoping this will make me feel about myself? So you're going to give up some of the unrealistic goals. You're going to focus on the lifestyle change that you would like to make so that 2 or 3 months into it, it's not about you've been perfect or not. We're hoping that by 3 months into your lifestyle changes, you are eating less ice cream. You are eating more fresh veggies. You are getting out and walking 3 times a week, 20 minutes a day. You have made progress toward the goal that you'd like to achieve of being healthier. Do you hear the difference? A New Year's resolution that's so black or white sets you up for failure, which sets you up to feel badly about yourself, which is like the fat picture on the refrigerator. It does not make you want to eat healthier. It makes you want to run and hide. It makes you want to eat 3 pieces of chocolate cake. So we're going to change the way you approach making changes in your life to healthier lifestyle changes. Instead of shooting all over yourself, you're trying to substitute healthier, more loving choices for yourself. So let's look at the kind of things we can do to be better people. If we make a resolution within ourselves to be kind, to love more, to not gossip, to do random acts of kindness. Those are things that will make us feel really, really good about ourselves. And we don't have to do them every single minute of every single day. We can just do them as often as we can. And then we have begun to change who we are. So when you do your New Year's resolutions, ask yourself why.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.